You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the great book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. New book. We just completed the great book of Revelation, Acts chapter 1. Before I begin, I want to invite every Christian in America to join me for America's Day of Repentance on Saturday, July 4th, 9 a.m., right here on this radio or internet broadcast. We're going to pray and believe 2 Chronicles 7:14, and God will heal our land. Prayer warriors are still invited to come each Wednesday, 6 p.m., to pray fervently for President Trump and for the United States of America, and come on Sundays at 5 p.m. for the live radio broadcast. And now, Acts of the Apostle, chapter 1. An apostle is a sent one. Jesus had chosen 12 disciples. When you're a disciple, you're a student. You're learning. You're getting ready. You're in training. But when Jesus is ready to use you, he calls you an apostle. So now, these apostles, at least 11 of them, are ready to be sent. It was written by Dr. Luke. He was a medical doctor. We're going to find many medical terms in this. He's the same one who wrote the Gospel of Luke. Now, I can assure you that once he came to Jesus, he didn't pop pills anymore. He popped prayer because Jesus is the healer. As our curtain goes up on this great book, the Lord Jesus Christ has been crucified on a cruel cross. He died to pay our sin debt, which is death. He defeated death, whose name is the devil. Jesus shed his precious blood for the remission of our sins. Why the blood? Because the life is in the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And then Jesus, after 3 days, arose from the dead. He showed himself to his 11 remaining disciples for 40 days to prove that he was alive. And then he went up in a cloud and ascended into heaven. Before Jesus went up, he said to them, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." The age. Now these disciples' lives had been changed forever. They had been walking with Emmanuel, God with us. What a trip it was. Brokenhearted, they went back to Jerusalem as he had commanded them to wait for the promise. The title of this is The Formation of the Church of Jesus Christ.
Verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus.
All right. Now, this is a clue that Luke wrote this because in the Gospel of Luke, he also writes to Theophilus. However, Theophilus is not a man. It's literal Greek. Most of the time in the Bible, the translation in the English is from Greek or Hebrew or Aramaic. But sometimes there's a transliteration. This is a transliteration. It's literally Greek, and it means friend of God. Are you a friend of God?
Yes.
Okay, it's written to you.
Of all that Jesus began, both to do and to teach, verse 2, until the day he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen.
All right, he says, I'm going to document and write all about Jesus, even unto the time he ascended into heaven, and all the commandments he's been giving us.
Verse 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days.
Now, 40 days is a number of probation or testing, and he showed himself to them 40 days to prove that he was alive.
And speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God.
He continued to teach them of the kingdom of God, because you see, the kingdom is at hand. A kingdom is a king and his dominion. We serve Jesus. Is Jesus your king?
Oh, yes.
Are you his dominion? Yes. So see, right now is the kingdom of heaven. Now, see, we are citizens of America, those of us listening in other people in other countries there, but we are actually citizens of the kingdom of God. So don't get so upset in all of the junk that you hear in this country, in this planet, because you are a citizen of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Yes. 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father.
Now, Luke also documented this in Luke chapter 24, verse 47. Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem, do not leave Jerusalem until you get the promise of the Father. What's the promise?
Which saith he, ye have heard of me.
I told you.
Verse 5, for John truly baptized with water.
All right, he's talking about John the Baptist who baptized Jesus with water. Now, once you get saved, there are two baptisms you're to have. One is the baptism of water, literal water. And remember that John put Jesus under the water and brought him up. The water represents the Holy Spirit. You're actually then saying you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You go under and you say Jesus died, and you come up and you say Jesus arose. And Jesus says, whosoever confesses me before men, I will confess him before my Father which is in heaven. So when you are baptized, you confess before people that you believe that Jesus died and arose. But that's the first baptism. Wait for this one.
But ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit.
All right. There's a second baptism. Now, the Holy Spirit is the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. God is a spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God the Father. And Jesus said of himself, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Father and I are one. There's just one God. Holy Spirit is God. But remember, God is a spirit, and you must worship him in spirit. So he's a spirit. So the only way you can worship him is to have the baptism of the Spirit. Holy
Amen.
Spirit. Got it?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Okay. All right. So now, when are you going to get see the Holy Spirit? They're asking him.
Not many days hence.
Actually, it would be at Pentecost. It would be 10 days later. Jesus showed himself alive 40 days after his resurrection, but then they had to wait for the Holy Spirit to come 10 more days. That's Pentecost. All right, Pentecost is 50. Actually, Pentecost in the Hebrew calendar is always 50 days after Passover. Christ, our Passover sacrifice for us. That's when we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It should be called Passover, not Easter. 50 days is Pentecost, and that's when the Holy Spirit comes. May the Holy Spirit come on you.
Verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will thou again at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?
Now, one of the things that apostles did not know, they thought that when Jesus arose from the dead, that was his second coming. So they're excited about the millennium, the 1,000 years of teaching, because of course they're going to be teachers, don't you think? So they said, is this when you're going to begin, Jesus? Now remember, it's the disciples, apostles asking him this, okay? What are the signs of your coming?
Verse 7, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times nor the seasons which the Father has put into his own power.
All right. Now, in this case, he's not talking to you or to me, because we have all kind of signs in the Bible. He's talking to them. Why did Peter, James, and John, etc., not need a sign? Because they are not going to be here alive in their bodies when Jesus comes. But the rest of us who come to the end need a sign. In other words, Daniel says in Daniel chapter 12, but the wise shall understand at the end. That at the end, those who are wise will understand the times and season. We just studied Revelation. We studied seven signs. Those are the seven seals. And he also gave us seasons. He told us that the Antichrist time's been shortened. Mark 13, for the elect's sake. Revelation 9, 5 months. That's a time. He also told us that the two witnesses are going to be killed. And 3.5 days, they are going to rise from the dead. And then Jesus is coming. So this was for them. But you are to know the times and seasons because the Bible teaches it, so you won't be deceived.
Verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you.
All right. The Holy Spirit is like the fire that sends the shuttle up. Let's just say you have a brand new car. Boy, it's perfect. And it's been tested. It's full of gas. And you go in and you sit and you say, go, car. And it doesn't move. You didn't turn the switch on. You didn't turn on the ignition. So the Holy Spirit power, baptism, he fills you, is totally essential. It's essential to help you live the Christian life. You do not know how to pray unless you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Documentation, Romans 8:26. For you know not how to pray as you ought, but the Holy Spirit will intercede for you with groanings which cannot be uttered, that you pray according to the Father's will. You do not know how to witness to anyone or win a soul unless you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the one to convict and anoint. You do not know how to live your life. You don't know how to go about your daily work. You don't know how to come in or go out. In other words, without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you are saved, but you're just sitting there waiting for your car to crank up. Understand? Yes. It is the power, dunamis power, dynamite power, totally essential. Now, when you got saved, the Holy Spirit came to live in you, but that's not the baptism. That's just the presence of Jesus. You were saved. But there is another baptism, your water and the baptism, essential for you to live the Christian life. I would never teach this without calling on the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, it would not be anything. The word, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So you need this. If you don't have it, don't go to bed tonight until you're filled with the Holy Spirit. But then you have to continue to be filled. Be filled. Be filled. Be filled.
And you shall be witnesses unto me.
All right. Now, once you get the Holy Spirit, you're going to witness of him. You're going to tell people that God sent his son Jesus. He died. He shed his blood. He rose from the dead. Repent of your sins. Be saved. But see, you don't know how to win souls unless you have the Holy Spirit. So after you get the Holy Spirit, you're to witness. Where are you to witness?
Both in Jerusalem.
All right. Now, the disciples, apostles, were in Jerusalem. Where you began, once you got the Holy Spirit to witness, is right where you are. Your home, your school, your job, your work, your social crowd. Right where you are, your hometown. That's where you are to do. That's your first commandment, Christian.
And in all Judea.
Okay, then go out to your county. And go to your state, witness, tell people of Jesus. See, everybody's not called to be pastors and evangelists and teachers, but everybody has a ministry of reconciliation. And that's what he's talking about. Each one of you is supposed to witness.
And in Samaria.
Oh, Samaria. Well, who and what is Samaria? Now, remember that there were originally 12 tribes of Israel, but they had a spat and they split. Two of them changed their names and called themselves the House of Judah. That was the tribe of Benjamin and the tribe of Judah. But the other 10 were called the House of Israel. However, the Bible says they were captured by Sennacherib, the Assyrian. And the first place they moved to was Samaria. That's the 10 tribes, the House of Israel, Samaria. Samaria in the Greek is watchtower. We are told to watchman, watch. Now, history tells us that those 10 tribes, the House of Israel, moved from Samaria, migrated over the Caucasus Mountains, settled in Europe, Ireland, Scotland, England. Joseph's two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, had a spat. They came across the Atlantic Ocean, and Samaria landed in the United States of America. So you start where you are. They started in Jerusalem, and look, here is the gospel in the United States of America. Do you understand why this is God's land?
And unto the uttermost part of the earth.
And the absolute commandment of us in America is to take this gospel from Samaria, our watchtower, out to the whole wide world. Hallelujah.
Verse 9. And when he spoke of these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight.
All right. Now he goes up in a cloud. A cloud is a whirlwind. Remember, Elijah the prophet was taken up in a whirlwind, and then it explained that it was a chariot of fire. The book of Ezekiel talks about this cloud. He calls it the color of amber. It's a highly polished bronze circular vehicle. It's a chariot of fire. Wind, whirlwind, amber, highly polished bronze vehicle, chariot of fire. There goes Jesus in a chariot of fire. Hallelujah.
Verse 10. And while they looked steadfastly unto heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel.
Two angels, messengers of God.
Verse 11, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up for you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven.
Just like he went up, the cloud, which is a whirlwind, which is a highly polished bronze vehicle, which is a chariot of fire, that's how he's coming. And every eye shall see him. No sneak previews. Now, caution. We just studied Revelation, and we found that 6 comes before 7. Jesus will come at the 7th trump, that event, but Satan, that old Antichrist, the devil, Lucifer, Satan, the instead of Christ, the pretender, is coming before him. In Isaiah chapter 14, that Antichrist, instead of Christ, was called Lucifer, and he said, I will ascend myself above the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. I'm going to act like I'm God, and I'm going to call myself somebody in the clouds. So, Antichrist, like Christ, but he's the devil with his Jesus costume on, looks like Jesus, acts like Jesus, talks like Jesus, two horns of a lamb like Jesus, is coming in the same way. And he comes before Jesus in a whirlwind, in a chariot of fire, highly polished bronze vehicle, in the clouds. Be not deceived. 6 comes before 7. Antichrist pretends to be Christ. He's an imitator. He always does what he sees Jesus do, but he's a copycat. He comes first.
Verse 12, then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount which is called Olivet.
Mount Olive.
'Tis from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey.
About a half day's journey.
Verse 13, and when they come in, they went up into an upper room.
This means they went into a higher level of understanding. See, you can be saved and go to church and hold your Bible, but until you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're on a lower level. You don't understand things. You don't hear the Holy Spirit. You don't lay your hands on the sick and they get healed. Now, as I sit here at my podium, on my back wall, there's a beautiful sign called the Upper Room, and there's a beautiful lighted cross there. That's because here we operate in the power of the Holy Spirit on an upper level, a higher level of understanding. As Daniel said in chapter 12, at the end, the wise shall understand. Amen. They're going to wait for this Holy Spirit. Now, you know what? They don't know what the Holy Spirit is. Is it purple? Is it green? Is it tall? Is it short? What is it? Now, many Christians who have never received the baptism, they say, did you get it? Holy Spirit's not an it. Holy Spirit is God.
Where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zealots, Judas the brother of James.
All right, this Judas is not Judas Iscariot. He's not there anymore. There were 12. 12 is a number of government, but now there are only 11. That's a horrible number. It's a number of disorder and chaos. Judas, the brother of James, is the half-brother of Jesus, like James is the half-brother of Jesus. Actually, he is Jude, J-U-D-E, who wrote the book, little book, that just before Revelation. So now we've only got 11. By the way, if you've been wanting to memorize the disciples' names, there they are. Well, we've only got 11, okay? So that's Jude.
Verse 14. It's all continued with one accord.
Okay, now here they are. They know something's about to happen to them. They're going to get a higher level of understanding of God and His kingdom, and they're all one accord. The church is always to be one accord, no discord. Jesus is Lord. Fitly joined together, no one missing, no one broken, encouraging one another. Come together in the unity of the faith. They are.
In prayer and supplication.
Now, what do they do? They don't know what to do. This is the first time that Jesus has not been with them, and they're going to have to form a church, so they pray. They pray. They pray. Jesus says, "My Father's house will be called Father's house of prayer for all people." All Christians are to pray without ceasing. You don't go one step without praying. You don't even go to my prayer meeting without praying first so it'll be right. You don't go to church without praying. You don't go to your job without praying. You don't spend your money without praying. You don't say I love you without praying. You don't do anything without praying. That is how the prayer, the Word, and the Holy Spirit is how you live the Christian life. So the church is doing good. The first thing they do, pray. We're a praying church here. If you're not a praying person, come and join us. I'll help you. The Holy Spirit will help you. You've got to learn how to pray because that invokes God's hand right down here on earth.
Amen.
With the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren.
All right, those are the brethren that Mary and Joseph had after Jesus was born by the Holy Spirit. Notice the women are there. It's all inclusive. Jesus says, my kingdom is neither male nor female, but we're as the angels. In other words, we're all children of God. So women play a very important part. And we weren't female in the first earth age. We were spirit. And we won't be in the other. Right now, he just used women. He gave you a hard assignment to have babies. But that's the only reason.
Verse 15. Those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said...
Okay, now, this is the first pastor of the first church of Jesus Christ, Peter. Peter, who denied Jesus three times, Jesus forgave Peter three times. He said to Peter, "Peter, feed my sheep. Peter, feed my lamb. Peter, feed my sheep." He forgave him. And now Peter, this immovable rock, Petra, rock, but not the rock of ages. He is about to stand up. Now, one of the things you want to understand is that Jesus, when they were disciples, taught them every word of God from Genesis all the way through Malachi. They knew the Old Testament. And Jesus had taught them to pray and that when they get up to speak, they speak the word of God. So we're going to hear Peter recite words from the Old Testament. So see, now we have the New Testament also. But we're also, anyone preaching or teaching, it's the word of God, not man's words.
The number of names together were about 120.
All right. The assembly of the first church, the 120, with the men and the women, and Peter, first pastor, the first church of Jesus Christ, begins to speak.
16. Men and brethren. A scripture must needs have been fulfilled.
All right. There's a scripture I want to tell you that is a prophecy, and we've got to obey it. I will tell you that it's Psalm 41, verse 9.
Which the Holy Spirit, by the mouth of David, spake before concerning Judas.
Okay. David prophesied this, and it's Psalm 41, verse 9. David said, "Mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, who took bread with me, hath lifted up his heel against me." Now, at the Last Supper, the Passover meal, they were asking Jesus, who's going to betray you? And Jesus says, the one who dips his bread in the sop the same time I do, and Judas did. So, all right, Judas is not with them. He's not here anymore. They've got to have 12. 12, the number of government. 11 is the number of disorder, chaos. Okay, so David had prophesied of this. Also, Zechariah prophesies of it.
Which was guide to them that took Jesus.
All right. He said Judas guided the phony scribes and Pharisees, the phony church leaders, to find Jesus. Remember that Judas led those who arrested Jesus and went up and kissed Jesus. And Jesus said, friend, why are you here? Now, why did Judas betray Jesus? Judas had a cushy job. He got to carry the bag, and he was a thief. He could dip in there and get him some money anytime he wanted. So he would not want to lose his job. He did not know that Jesus was going to let himself be killed, because he didn't want Jesus dead, because Judas would lose his job. He thought that Jesus, when he was nudged, would say, okay, enough, let's start my kingdom right here, because Judas wanted to be the secretary of the treasurer. He only thought they'd rough him up so Jesus would start his kingdom right there, so Judas could be a part of his cabinet. Understand?
Yes. 17, who was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry.
Jesus chose Judas.
18, now this man purchased a field with a reward of iniquity.
All right. Now Peter would not be telling a lie, so sometimes the translations are not right. It sounds like he said Judas purchased a field with the 30 pieces of silver Judas received for betraying Jesus. But actually, Judas did not purchase that field. And Peter can refer to Zechariah chapter 11, but we can refer to Matthew chapter 27, verses 1 through 9. When Judas saw that Jesus was condemned to death, he repented. Oh! I'm sorry. He said, I have sinned. I have betrayed an innocent man. What do you have to do to get saved? Confess your sins, repent. And he gave the phony church leaders their 30 pieces of silver back. But Zechariah 11 and Matthew 27 says they would not accept it. The phony church leaders went out and bought the potter's field, called the field of blood, blood money, to bury the homeless in. There was a lot of broken pottery out there. Jesus is the potter. We're the clay. We're broken because of sin. But only Jesus, unlike Humpty Dumpty, Jesus can put us back together again. Amen. He can use any old crackpot.
Amen. And falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst while his bowels gushed out.
Now, Peter is saying that. Now, the Matthew 27, 1 through 9 says, he went out then and hung himself. Notice that Peter did not say he hung himself. Did you catch that? He said he burst out and his bowels fell out. Okay. First of all, let me explain something. It is virtually impossible to hang yourself and cut yourself from your Adam's apple all the way down so that everything falls out. You wouldn't be able to. Luke is a doctor. The Greek implies that he was cut from his Adam's apple all the way down. When Judas repented, he was choked with sorrow. Have you ever been so choked with sorrow that you swallowed your tongue and you strangled? Oh my goodness. Judas had a lot of help dying. He could have squealed on them. These phony church leaders didn't want to lose their cushy job, too. They got good money and they got taken care of. They wouldn't want everybody to know that the phony church leaders were the ones who wanted Jesus crucified and caused his death. So they had to silence the whistleblower. Judas had a lot of help dying. He repented. He confessed his sin. I have sinned. I betrayed an innocent man. Repent. Confess your sins. Whosoever confesses his sins, God says, I am faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Let's don't be so hard on Judas. Haven't you betrayed him? Yes.
19. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch that that field is called in the proper tongue, Seldama, It used to say the field of blood.
Now, it is written in history that these people in the community, when they heard that they were saying that Judas hung himself and his insides fell out, they said, that seems strange. They would say, what happened to Judas? What happened to Judas? Oh, I know, the devil threw him up in the air, strangled him, threw him down, and his insides fell out. Ha ha, something rotten in Denmark. So see, it's impossible for that to happen. So even the people knew it was strange, and Peter did not say he hung himself. Let's don't be too hard on Judas.
Verse 20, it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and no man dwell therein. And his bishopric let another take.
Peter's quoting from Psalm 109, verse 8, and from Psalm 69. Let somebody else take his office, so we could have the complete government number, 12.
21. Therefore, these men which have comforted with us.
Okay, let's look at all of these men who've been with us and were eyewitnesses to Jesus, Peter says.
All the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. 22. Beginning from the baptism of John.
Let them have been there when John baptized Jesus. Remember that? The dove came and landed on Jesus after Jesus came up out of the water. The dove is the Holy Spirit. And a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.
To that same day that he was taken up from among us.
Let's find somebody who saw that, walked with us all the 3 years, and even saw Jesus ascend, because we need an eyewitness.
Must one be ordained to be a witness with us?
That's what I said.
Of his resurrection. 23. And they appointed two.
All right, they're going to choose two.
Is it called Barsabbas, or surnamed Justus?
Barsabbas is Bar-Sabbath, son of rest, and the just one. That sounds good, doesn't it? His name means son of rest and the just one. Wow. I would have chosen him probably, wouldn't you?
And Matthias.
Matthias names means loved of God. Loved of God.
24. And they prayed and said, thou Lord, which knowest the heart of all men.
All right. Gift of God. Gift of God. The first thing they did, they prayed. You see, they could have said, you know, we've been walking with Jesus. Peter could have said, John, which one of these you think you should choose? And James could have said, I think that one. And so, no, no, no. Don't ever do this, Christian. We do not decide these things. We pray. We pray. And God knows the heart. See, you've got to learn to pray and wait for the Holy Spirit to answer. He'll tell you what, who, where, and how.
Amen. Show whither of these two thou hast chosen. 25. That he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place.
Notice that Peter didn't judge Judas. He said, well, he's not here anymore.
26. And they gave forth their lots, and their lots fell upon Matthias.
Gift of God.
And he was numbered with the 11 apostles.
Now, it's interesting that we never hear about Matthias, do we? We don't hear any more about him. His name means the same thing as Matthew. In Revelation chapter 21, at the end of the millennium, after the great white throne judgment, after the lake of fire, God the Father is going to bring the heaven of Jerusalem down. And in Revelation 21, we see that the names of the 12 apostles are there. They are there. Which one will the fountain bless? Will it be Matthias, or might it be Judas? We shall see. And so the church is formed. I pray you are blessed.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Next week we'll have Acts 2, and the Holy Spirit is going to baptize us with fire. However, it's time now for a mystery moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. Excuse me. Let me introduce to you the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry. It's exciting to start a new book, isn't it?
Yes, it is, the church.
Okay, our question today. Dear Trumpet of Truth, what is the church?
What is the church? The church is not a building. The Greek word is ekklesia. It means called out ones, set aside, which means sanctified. So you see, we welcome sinners, come be saved. We welcome Christians who do not have the baptism, come and be filled. But unless you are called out, set apart, sanctified, totally, 24 hours a day, everything, your whole life, you're not a member of the church. You know, a lot of these churches that say they're big, they might not be so big. Give me 10 people filled with the Holy Spirit, called of God, and we can get this church done, thing done. We can get the kingdom of God, the word of God out. God will add daily to the church such as we saved. I'd rather have 10 than 1,000. Okay. Amen. All right. Now, you know David left his stuff in the cart and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Matthew 16:18.
Absolutely. And what Jesus meant, it wasn't Peter the rock, although his name means rock. It was the confession that Peter had just made. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thank you, Scott. That is so absolutely perfect for this lesson. Thank you. In a moment, I'm going to pray for the sick. But if anybody out there is not saved, please pray this prayer with me, and God will save you right now. Mean it with your heart. Here we go. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe Jesus shed his blood to wash away my sins.
I believe that Jesus shed his blood to wash away my sins.
I am sorry for my sins.
I
repent.
Please
forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Please baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
And lead me by the Holy Spirit.
And use me
to help build the Church of Jesus Christ. To add daily to the church such as should be saved. Jesus is Lord. Amen. Now, for those of you who prayed that the first time in a minute, you want to tell somebody, confession is made to salvation, you may tell me. In a little bit, my announcer will give you my telephone number. I invite you to call on my phone and leave your confession that you just got saved on my voicemail. Leave your name, and of course, I'll be praying for you. Now, let's pray for the sick. Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, I ask, O Son of Righteousness, you will arise with healing in your wings. Right now, someone whose bones are kind of just dissipating there. The bones are kind of dissipating. They're not whole. They're not strong. In the name of Jesus, healing virtue of Jesus, laser beams going to every bone, from the brain stem right on down the vertebrae, the hips, the pelvis, the thighs, the knees, the legs, the feet, every bone in your body, come alive, be made whole. He makes your bones strong. Not one of them is broken. Pick up your bed. Take up your bed. Run and not be weary. Walk and not faint. Total restoration, reparation of the bones. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Yes. Hallelujah. Those of you who got that, you want to call and tell me that too. Now, nothing is given to you to keep, so please go and tell this truth to everyone you meet. Remember, you have a ministry of reconciliation. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your host, Sherry Medlock, and I love you, and I thank you for loving our God. And I can't wait until next time when you and I get together as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the
Trumpet
of Truth. You're listening
to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, Vieira, FM 102.3. Is it true? Calling all Christians who love America, Sherry Medlock of Trumpet of Truth invites you to join her every Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. to pray fervently for President Donald Trump and for America. Let us take back our country for Jesus and the Bible. Sherry is in Sun Tree next to the Produce Place at 2565 Sellers Lane in Melbourne. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, and may God save America. Once again, that's Wednesday evenings at 6 o'clock, and the place, 2565 Sellers Lane in Melbourne. And join us right here on 91.5 FM WMIE every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. for a Trumpet of Truth.
Oh, and he's living on the inside, roaring like a lion. My God's not dead, he's surely alive, and he's living on the inside, roaring like a lion.
Listening to Brevard County's very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. 91.5 FM WMIE. Lord, make me an instrument.
I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard God's precious blood's atoning, and I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. And I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me.
Yeah. mountains shake and crumble.